Hello, my friend. Jeff C. here with a great new resource that I put together just for you. It's a complete database of all the tools that I use to create content and run my business. I've got apps, software, hardware, and even my favorite AI tools. It's easy to find what you need and tells you exactly how I'm using them in my business. To get access to my toolbox, just go to jeffc.com/toolbox. That's J-E-F-F. S is in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C. That's how my mama had me learn it. So go check it out. And if you haven't heard me say it in a while, I appreciate you listening, my friend. And now, on with the episode.
Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interests in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world, one man will assist you on your journey. To become a pinner and grow your presence online, men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host,
Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. I'm very excited today to be talking to you about this new visual search tool that came out for Pinterest. But first, I want to tell you about a group coaching opportunity I'll be offering. I'm getting ready to launch an 8-week in-depth live Pinterest training, which I'll be offering to a select few. I'm really wanting to keep this class size down so we can really work together to get your Pinterest account driving traffic and giving you the results that you need for your business. If you're interested in finding out more, head to manlypinteresttips.com/training. That's manlypinteresttips.com/training. I'm very excited to have my friend and fellow Pinterest marketer with me today, Mr. Vincent Ng. I consider Vincent the king of Pinterest search optimization. And today we're going to be talking about Pinterest's new visual search tool and how it's a game changer for visual search. Vincent is the founder of MCNG Marketing and a Pinterest marketer, speaker, and he enjoys reading Batman comics. He's the author of Pinterest to Profits with Pentalysis and the host of the Pictures to Profits podcast. He's a top 20 resource for becoming a Pinterest expert, according to Heyo, and has written for amazing blogs such as Social Media Examiner, Top Dog Social Media, and Tailwind. Now, this interview that I did with Vincent was a live show where the audience is able to interact with myself, guests, and each other. If you'd like to be a part of one of our live shows, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out when our next live show is. Come join us where you can ask your own questions during the show. Vincent is a great friend and one of the smartest pinners I know, so let's jump right into my conversation with Vincent Ng. Vincent, myself, and Elisa, Meredith just spoke at Social Media Success Summit on Pinterest, so I'm very excited to have him back here with me today. So, Vincent, I didn't put it in the comments, but what is your Pinterest? What's the best place for the people to follow you on Pinterest?
Yeah, the best place is to follow /MCNG Marketing. But if you want to stalk me a little bit, you can go to my personal account. If you type in Vincent Ng, you can see my personal account. So you can stalk me there. But I'm not usually too much on my personal account.
Gotcha. Well, you know, if you guys have any questions when we're talking today, make sure you put the forward slash Q and or is it backslash Q? Which one is it? For questions. Anyway, ask your questions in the comments. We'll try to answer them during the show. And if you want to, at the end of the show, we'll try to bring you on and you can ask your questions of Vincent live. So, Vincent, let's jump right into it. This new tool, and you were the first one a long time ago to talk about it in one of your blog posts, and I hadn't heard about it before. And I really didn't think it was going to come until maybe next year or something like that. And I think a lot of people were surprised about it. But kind of explain to our viewers here and listeners what this new tool is and what it kind of does.
Yeah, thanks for the introduction, Jeff. So basically what happens is that there is Pinterest calls it a new visual discovery tool, but back in its beta days, it actually was called Flashlight. And Flashlight was actually officially announced back in February 2014, so it wasn't really a secret that Pinterest was trying to hide. It's just that, like you're saying, nobody happened to stumble upon it until quite a few months later. And basically what the new tool allows you to do is that it's kind of similar to cropping an image, but instead of cropping an image, you actually highlight an image within the image. So for example, if I want to be inspired by more beards, I would, you know, go to Manly Pinterest Tips and then kind of like select like, oh, I can see Jeff C's beard. Let's just
zoom. Will the cropping tool go that big?
Sorry?
Will it actually crop that big to get the whole beard in there?
It will get your whole beard. I guarantee it.
Okay.
I guarantee you that. but basically that's pretty much it. Is you can select an item and then what it will do is it'll show relevant pins, visually relevant pins of the object you selected. So theoretically you're supposed to get more beards related pins. That's the gist of it.
Gotcha. So why is this such a big deal? Why is this a, you know, why are people like us geeking out on it? What's the deal with that?
I think that what's interesting is I don't actually think this is a Pinterest thing. I think it's actually more of a search optimization, but on a different form. And I think the way I see things, and Jeff, I want you to chime in because you've been around for a while as well. But it's kind of like when Google first came out and search engines first came out. We all know Lycos and ones that are now pretty much defunct. Right. They were pretty bad. And I think Pinterest is kind of going through that phase right now that where things aren't perfect, but to be able to close in an object to search for it, I mean, that's amazing. If you see, for example, you know, you and I use a similar mic.
Right.
If a podcaster happened to see a photo and they go, oh, that's an interesting mic, but we're not trying to promote it on our pin, they can select it. And now they know where they potentially buy the mic that we're using. So I think that there's a huge implications for social commerce. There's huge implications for search. And I really think that's just the tip of the iceberg. So where search engines were text, you know, a decade ago, we're kind of going through that revolution with visual search right now.
Gotcha. And from what I read on it, and they developed it with Berkeley Laboratory or something like that. They were highlighting it in this. It's kind of been a big deal for a while, but that it's getting better the more you use it. So I guess it's kind of a learning algorithm or something. I don't know exactly what it does, but they were saying in some of the engineering blogs that it actually gets better the more people use it, which is really pretty exciting because, I mean, it works pretty well right now. I mean, you had mentioned in your article, it missed a little bit on like some speakers it thought were doorknobs and stuff like that. But, you know, for most things, for me at least, when I've been testing it, it seems to hit more than it misses.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's on a bit of an artificial intelligence platform, which means that, again, the more that we use it as a whole, the better the whole system gets. So it's kind of an interesting thing because we have to use it. It gets better. In terms of is it off and on? Like, you're right. I think most of the times it's on. Sometimes it's a little bit off. But what's going to be really interesting as time goes on is that it's definitely going to improve. So like you had mentioned before, the example we were talking about was speakers. And so, unfortunately, the speakers are kind of really tiny in the picture, so you can't really notice it. And so when you highlight it, whether you highlight it on mobile or desktop, the visual search tool is available on both, it kind of read it as a doorknob.
Right.
So the tricky part is that when you highlight an object, if the object is kind of obvious, for example, like you probably seen light bulb like or lamps, right? Right. Lamps are pretty standard. But if your object starts to look similar to other objects, for example, like Orb audio speakers, I had two different results. One of them looked like those egg-shaped chairs, you know, the ones from like Men in Black.
right.
And another one was like the doorknob. So it's still work on, but you're right. It's exciting because I think the majority of this stuff is accurate. I mean, how about you? I mean, you must be excited about all of this.
Yeah, I like it. And one of the cool things I've been using it for is I think this is a kind of a secret thing. You know, one of your tips that I use all the time is it says, you know, you go look at magazine colors. Magazine covers. If you're trying to figure out how to pin and you're struggling with how to lay something out, to look at that to get inspiration. Well, what I've been using this visual discovery tool for is I'll crop in on the design, the whole thing, and it will bring up similar results. Like one of my recent pins I did was an old fashioned guy sharing a milkshake with somebody. And so I will highlight that and it'll bring up images in that same kind of film. I was getting like movie posters and film posters. We had done one for Social Media Examiner where it was kind of a stack text, and at the top it was a calendar. It was an article about how to schedule posts or something like that. If I would highlight the whole thing, it would bring up related pins that were, you know, the keep calm and carry on things. It was bringing up those, but because they were stacked, it was the same way. But so I think designers can use it to see similar results and get inspiration. And so I've been using it that way just to see and get some new ideas just with design. So.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. I'm gonna steal that from you. So.
Okay, I steal your magic one. You can have that one. Selling Moms has a question earlier. She goes, "Does the visual search tool work on desktop and mobile?" And it was really funny with mine. The desktop rolled out first to my account, and then later, late that night, it rolled out in mobile. And I kind of think the mobile works a little bit better. I don't know about you, Vincent, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I had the opposite experience. It worked on mobile first, and then it worked on desktop. But what I don't know if I'm, because it's still early, but when I was starting using it, I found that it did kind of bring up different results. I don't know if that was your case. So I thought it was kind of interesting. If you use both, you get different results sometimes. So I think like you're saying earlier, we just have to wait and see,
right?
And hopefully it gets better. And I think over time, it should provide literally probably the same results at some point.
Yeah. Well, the cropping tool was acting funky on my desktop when I first tried it, and it was working okay on mobile. I haven't tested it in a while, but that was kind of what I was, you know, fiddling around with when it first rolled out. So, so is it available to everyone, or is it just US? Well, Canadians, I guess, have it. So is it rolling out to everybody who has a Pinterest account?
Yeah, so if I can tell you this, if the Canadians have it, then everybody else globally has it. I don't. So it's. I think sometimes it still takes time to roll these things out, because then Pinterest said, okay, we're going to roll this out November 9th. But realistically, I know you and I know, Jeff, that anytime Facebook rolls out something or somebody rolls out something, it could take a long while. So I think you had this experience. You had to wait a few days as well. I had to wait a few days. So.
Yeah.
So that's what Pinterest says. But if anybody is out there that does know the answer for sure, I mean, you know, our European colleagues, let us know, because I don't know if it's rolled out to Europe.
Yeah, I think, Martin, can you let us know if I see you are in the chat. So if you have, I think you already mentioned you had it, but just let people know that it's who has this new visual search tool. And the way you can tell when you look at a pin, there's a little icon up at the top on mobile on the top right. And so you click on that, and then it brings up the cropping tool. So what businesses, Vincent, do you think are going to benefit the most from this new tool?
I think that, you know, by gut instinct, I think everybody knows already that it's going to be the e-commerce platforms that sell actual products. They're definitely going to benefit the most, just because you and I use Pinterest, our audience has used Pinterest, and you've probably seen something in a pin where you go, you know, I would love to get that. It's in the background. You just don't know how. So I think that in the areas of, for example, like home decor is going to be massively huge, you know, move over IKEA, because everybody's going to showroom everything now.
Right.
And I think that definitely, again, if you're in the outdoor space, so if you're selling camping gear, things like that. So anything that's visually going to stand out, that's going to sell, is going to do very well. I don't think it's going to benefit bloggers in the sense that, again, like you're saying, it will benefit in the sense that it will give you inspiration and help you save a lot of time in trying to find similar pins. But I don't think you're going to generate money from it. But definitely e-commerce space, load up on photos, get them all out there. And then hopefully, because I don't know too many people they haven't told me that they're using the visual search, but I'm sure over time it's going to be a very popular right. tool to use.
Well, that's what I was going to, my next question was, how can bloggers utilize this? And one of the things that I found when I was testing it, and this is something maybe we both can test as we go forward, but like for Social Media Examiner, when I was checking their pins and doing this visual search on that, if you put like an Instagram icon on it, it would, and somebody highlights that, it will bring up other articles on Instagram. So my advice for bloggers would be to, if you're doing a pin that's on a specific platform or about a specific thing that has an icon, to use that so you may come up in visual search for other people. The other thing I was going to mention, we didn't mention, I don't think, at the beginning, but it also brings up those keywords, which is very, very cool.
Yes.
You know, that you can drill down even a little bit deeper on both desktop and mobile.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a good tip about the Instagram logo, because I never knew that. So it's, again, I'm going to steal something from Jeff C because he's the man. But you're right. When you do a visual search to help you refine your search, there's actually some keywords they put on the top right hand side. So again, even if you get you get speakers, but it says something like doorknobs, you can choose the right word. It's not always accurate, but they're doing a good job so far.
Right.
And then it helps you refine your search. So like you're saying, I think based on when people start clicking on those words, again, Pinterest is kind of, people don't think of Pinterest as kind of stalky, like they're not stalky, but they are. They're tracking everything you click. They know exactly what words you click. So they're going to know what you're trying to look for over time. So it's kind of creepy, but it's really powerful.
Yeah, especially for shoppers, because I mean, it's a rabbit trail now before, and now you can really drill down even more and go on down on more rabbit trails. We have another question that said, since it can be recognized that an object is a QR code, do you think, so I don't know, somebody maybe have been testing, if QR codes can be read more. That'd be interesting if QR codes really came back just on Pinterest, but I don't know if they can do that or not yet. We'll have to check and test that out, but that's a very, very interesting idea. Selling Moms has another question. She says, should we format the pin image differently? Say I sell vintage rhinestone brooches. So what would your advice be to her who is, selling maybe on Etsy or eBay or something like that?
Yeah, I think Social Selling Mom asks a great question. The very first thing that you want to do is make sure that your product is nice and visible in your pin on a mobile version. It's really important. So with your rhinestone brooches, making sure that people can actually see that it's not potentially mistaken as something else. And again, what you want to be able to do is make sure that you're uploading lots of those types of photos from different angles. Again, if you sell different products with different colors, put them all up there. And the reason that is because Pinterest needs those data visual points. They can only use what they're given. So if they're not given enough data visual points, they don't know what's going on. They assume that the object may be something else. So they're going to recommend some other person's product. But if you got the time, upload those pins, even if you're not getting repins, because you're going to help Pinterest become a better search engine leading to your product.
Do you think they're going to ever limit? Because I can see people trying to game the system, because, you had mentioned also that your competitors, there's nothing that says just your pins were going to show up, and there's no weightedness that we can see that your pins will show up better if you have more, and closer images or whatever. So do you think, because potentially a company, let's say they sold shoes, they could just kill it with uploading pictures of shoes, individual shoes, over and over and over again. Do you think they're going to try to limit that, or how can, because somebody's thinking of it right now, how to do that.
Yeah. I think that, and that's the inherent danger that we're moving forward, is because it's also helping, but it's also hurting at the same time. Like you're saying, when we have a business that, let's be honest, a lot of businesses use the same wholesaler, and some of them have a bigger budget and they're going to hire somebody to keep uploading these photos, and eventually it could squeeze out. I don't know if it is going to squeeze out completely. I mean, we're talking about dozens of billions of pins.
Right.
So, they'd have to upload millions to be able to really start putting a serious dent in it. But that being said, I think that, to be honest, you're right. We need to be worried. You need to be vigilant. And that doesn't mean that you need to stop growing your followers. Like we have talked about before, you presented on this, is that you still got to build your community. You got to go with people that follow, they like, they trust you. So the visual search may detract away from your business, but at the same time, it's kind of a weird loop, because that means there's other people that are searching for your competitors' products that's going to discover your product. So it's a weird karma thing that just ends up.
And I think it's strange too, and I can't remember what company reported this, but they said that promoted pins won't factor into this visual search, which I thought was very, very interesting, that Pinterest was not going to use their model to make money on this. Now, from what I understand, buyable pins will factor into it. So buyable pins could come up, but you cannot promote pins and expect them to show up in visual search. Why do you think they did that? I mean, I would think that they would try to get their marketing stuff in, their ads in there that people are paying for. What do you think their end game is with that?
I think that if I had to be completely honest, based on looking at Pinterest history, they're pretty adamant about making things pretty close to perfect before they launch something. So knowing how visual search works, it's good right now. But as I said before, you can imagine that if someone's trying to promote speakers, but it comes out as doorknobs, and then someone has a promoted pin for doorknobs, I think the buyer of the promoted ads, if they happen to see it, would kind of be annoyed that they're potentially aiming at the wrong crowd. So I think that they're really trying to gather the intelligence, the data before they really launch into this. I mean, let's be honest, Pinterest is worth, I think it's like $11 billion. They're right under a lot of pressure to make money. So I think they're saying they're not going to do this for now, but at some point, I think that they may change things. You know, it's just a matter of trying to make sure that integrates nicely into the user experience, and that it's not offending too many people. But I honestly believe we're probably going to see something, but just not soon, though.
Right. That's a good point. I think it's interesting because they may be getting the benefit of putting visual search out for the holidays, but they're not going to have the marketing thing. But it wouldn't surprise me by next year this time that would be something that would be showing up in that visual search, just because of how much money and how much traffic they drive during Black Friday and all that stuff. So, I mean, the numbers were just huge last year. Martin has a question. He goes, what do you think of the suggested tags from the guided search that are popping up? So what do you think about that, Vincent?
So I think that, in terms of a search engine perspective, I think that's good. You're getting more keyword data that's related to pictures. So what the keyword data is telling us is that, okay, so we know that these types of words are associated with these type of colors, these type of shapes. So again, if you are noticing that you're not using those keywords, start using them, get them associated with your pictures. And I think that will help you maximize not only search engine optimization within the search bar on Pinterest, but again, your chances of showing up on visual search will also increase. Now, I can't back that up with data. I want to caution people,
right?
But that's what I'm speculating.
And I think it's good to point out too that having good, you know, pin titles and optimizing your descriptions, you're going to be way ahead of a lot of the competition anyway if you do that right. You know, because we talked earlier about somebody gaming the system by throwing a bunch of pins. Even that, I think you'd be better off spending your time really optimizing your pins and your pin descriptions and not worry so much about that. You know, I think you need to pin more, of course, like we talked about growing your following. But I think there's nothing like, and you've written many, many articles about it, on the importance of pins and their descriptions and thinking about search when you're writing those descriptions as well. So, yeah. Now, you mentioned a couple downsides on your articles that I shared the link in the comments. So what are some other ones other than that you've seen that may come up, other than the, you know, your competition may show up, because there's no really limiting factor? Is there any other downsides that you see to this visual search?
As I said, yeah, your competition might show up again, and then go into more detail again. You have to be very careful, because if someone is selling a similar product that's for half the price, and that is actually possible, you know, you got to be very, very cautious. And like you're saying earlier, Jeff, that's when you got to write the really good pin descriptions to lure people away from those pins and to click through as soon as possible. So almost it's become that your pin has to almost get people to click through on it right away. It sounds weird, because it's like, okay, we have this great visual discovery tool, but at the same time, I'm telling you, it's like, you probably don't want people to use it too often, because it takes people away from the actual pin. So you got to make sure that's clickable. Like, you're writing those great pin descriptions. So the downside is, unfortunately, you got to put more time. That's kind of it. It's we are in a space that we have to be graphically challenged to be the best that we can. And so also, as I said before, the other downside is that if people start visually searching for similar objects, again, if you have an object that's so unique, but it's shaped like other things, that can be a presented problem, because then now it makes people confused. Right. And the moment you get confused, you kind of lose interest in the product. They're like, I don't need an egg shaped chair. Like, it's not Men in Black. Right. So I think those are going to be the big downsides for sure. But I mean, realistically, I that's just speculation. I don't know for sure. I could be wrong. It could be one of those things where it's almost like communism, where it's good for everybody.
Right.
Theoretically.
Gotcha. Well, somebody else asked, what about text recognition? Is there a reason for that to exist on Pinterest? And we had a conversation offline, because I swore that I read that Pinterest could read your text overlays. And there was, I think that maybe it's something in one of our our communities, we saw that, but I couldn't find any data to back that up. Do you know if they're planning or it's in the works, text recognition for Pinterest, Vincent?
Yeah, I've been doing some testing with that and looking at related pins. So kind of the pins that you might see when you scroll down. And I'll be honest, I can tell you, I barely see a correlation a lot of times. So what I do notice is that you start seeing similar colors, you start seeing similar fonts. But honestly, I think you've had the experience, Jeff, is that it just because I write a text that says Ireland, so it will recognize that it is text, but it's more like it recognizes as block images almost. But type in Ireland, and you see text and you'll see other things, but you're not, it could be like, stay calm and drink Guinness or something.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of, even with a visual search tool, it gives me things that are, stacked or, some other things. So, I don't know if they have any plans to do that either. Selling Mom says, very interesting. I used it on my dollhouse furniture pin and it brought up full size furniture results. So, she's saying, so it's visual search, not looking at the description. And I don't know the correlation between those two. I'm sure that it's going to get better. And as more people search inside of things, I think Pinterest will learn that and it may start working. But yeah, how it'll be interesting to see how can they tell it's doll furniture compared to regular furniture. I mean, it's just, that will be tough. I mean, that will be interesting to see how they, if they can even figure that out. So, so Martin says, Vincent and Jeff, for me, it's no downside. It forces brands, Pinterest to improve the quality of the images, keywords, alt tags, et cetera. Pinterest is out for quality. Yes. So that was one of the other questions I was going to ask you. How can we optimize search optimize for this new search tool? And you mentioned a couple things. Are there some specific things that you would like tell a small business to hit those marks on visual search now that this has come out?
Yeah, I think the very first thing that you need to do is definitely test out the visual tool yourself. And like Social Selling Mom was saying, she kind of zoomed in and found out that it's furniture. And so that way, at least you kind of know what kind of results are showing up. And by then, once you kind of know what the results are showing up, that's when you kind of get into gear and say, okay, if my product happens to be showing up, what products are showing up? Is there a better way to share close-up photos because really ultimately what they're going to do is they're going to show up close-up photos. So you really have to think about it, like, okay, is this close-up photo going to convert? Is it going to tell people what the product is about? And really, unfortunately, it almost becomes, we use the magazine analogy a lot, but really now what we become is that we create these magazine covers, but now we're actually responsible for creating the advertisement within the magazine cover itself to get people to click through. So really take a look at the angles. Is the product you're selling flattering? Is it in the best light possible? Because here's the great thing, you can't put call to actions in your promoted pins, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can't put call to actions in your regular pin. So if you start noticing that your pins are showing up after someone clicks on it, like, or sort of zooms in with the visual search tool, go ahead, put a call to action saying, hey, check out our product. So I think those are some steps that you can take. But as I said before, probably the best thing you can do is to help Pinterest clarify what the product is. So if you have multiple products and they're different colors, make sure that you're uploading those pins with a variety of colors so that you don't get a doorknob.
Right. I really wish Pinterest Analytics would be able to tell us, this pin was found by the visual search. I mean, that would be very, very helpful to see how many people, I would love it for them to have something sort of like that. But the thing I'm recommending to like my clients, and one of mine is a large chocolate factory here locally. And, they have the big, nice catalog of all their chocolates and all that stuff. And it's all pretty and stuff. But they're going to have to start. Yes, we'll pin those. We'll, because those catalog images will look and do really well on Pinterest. But I'm also going to have good shots of the individual pieces. And so because a lot of times I see a lot of companies kind of skimp on that. They'll do a big shot and then they'll list on this, all the stuff that was in that shot and you can purchase it that way. Well, it's going to be very advantageous for them to go ahead and take photos of those individual, at least the products are selling. I mean, they don't have to do everything, but whatever's in that image that you're selling, I think you need to have an individual image for it, because People are going to start zooming in on that. Like, I'm sure people are zooming in on those truffles going, oh, I want that salted caramel, you know, and we need to have our pins coming up in that visual search. So it's very, very interesting that way.
You're also making me hungry, Jeff.
I know. I'm kind of hungry too.
Don't say your pin descriptions. You're making
salted caramel. We have another question. Do you know if the engine behind it is the same one from Google Image Recognition, like the one in Google Photos?
I don't. That one, I don't know.
I think they developed this separately with Berkeley. If you go to Pinterest engineering blog, they have an article about it, but they tell who they developed it with. So I have a feeling it's separate from Google. I don't know 100% that if that's that's true or not. But oh, and Shannon Hernandez says, "Let's go get dinner." Yep,
I agree.
It is getting close for dinner, so we're about to wrap up here in a little bit. But there's one question I want to ask from your article, and it was very intriguing. And you mentioned product placement exchanges towards the end of your article. What do you mean by that, and how can businesses use that?
So product placement exchanges kind of, it's the same concept of product placements, which is that if you have, let's say, and Coke does this very well. Coke won't tell you, but they do it very well. Yeah. They place products in YouTube videos and all that kind of jazz. What you can do is that you can exchange product placements with people that are not necessarily your direct competitors. So for example, if you are, again, you sell dollhouses, you may not necessarily sell dolls. That's not what you do.
Right.
So you can actually go with a local partner and say, hey, let's create some pins together. I will pin to my Pinterest followers. You can pin to your Pinterest followers. And so they may not necessarily be interested in the product that you sell, but they might be interested in the friendly product that you're selling. So, and I think that's a good way to start doing things is develop these joint partnerships with people, and then just kind of cross promote. It's really just a different form of cross promotion, but again, it exposes your products to different people. So again,
it's pretty much you're sharing audiences then, right? It's like, here you're putting your new product in front of somebody else, but just using this visual search to do that with, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Because someone might not be, again, they may not be interested in the mic that we have, but they go, hey, I'm really interested in the pop filter they've got going. So that's really what it is. You're right. Just cross-promoting to different audiences, similar interest, but they're just not interested in your product. Maybe just the other person's.
Gotcha. Yes, very, very interesting. You know, it'll be interesting. We're talking about food. I haven't tested it yet. I wonder if I zoom in on a big pot of macaroni and cheese, is it going to come out and give me all these macaroni and cheese pins? But I'll have to test that out and see.
I'm looking forward to the day that if you could imagine, it's like, yeah, I'm going to zoom in on a pin. And by the way, they're going to deliver that macaroni and cheese.
That would be awesome. That I could buy it right there and have somebody feed it to me. That would even be better.
Yeah, that would be crazy. It's like, we'll be ready in 20 minutes.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show. I've opened up the seat if anybody wants to pop in and ask a question or have any questions to ask Vincent, because he is the super search guy on Pinterest. Shay wants to come in. Let's go ahead and let Shay in real quick, and we'll have him ask his questions. All right, we'll see if Shay can come in. If you got headphones on, that's the best way to do it. But hey, so, Shay, how are you?
I'm great, fine. How are you?
Doing well. Good to see you again.
It's actually Shy, not Shay.
Shy. That you were on the Social Media Examiner one, and they said it wrong there too. So
it's okay. I'm used to it already.
Okay. Yeah. Ask what question you have for Vincent.
It's rather technical because, as you have noticed by the number of questions that I asked, I'm kind of into hacking this kind of stuff because I've noticed that they don't allow like cross pinning, like from one pin to another, which I thought would be an awesome idea. For example, if you have visually recognized the chair and you want to see it inside a set, you could click on the chair and then see it in another pin, which would bring you to, I don't know, the store or whatever. Do you know why they don't allow that?
Do I understand correctly? Are you saying that basically if you click on the original pin and then you close up on it, then it should go to the original source of the pin? Is that what you're...
To another pin, just in general, it doesn't really matter which one. I mean, like if I put two pins, I just tested it a few hours ago. I have two pins in one board, and I try to put the link to one pin on another pin, like as the source.
Oh, he's trying to link from pins to pin. Like exactly. he's using the Pinterest URL of the pin
exactly.
to link from a pin to another one.
Oh, I know what you get. You know, I actually don't know why Pinterest does that. I think it's just to kind of preserve the experience of trying to get people to the website.
Right.
I think that's kind of what it is. I think that because eventually, I think what the problem is, they don't want everything to be a circular loop, which is one pin goes to another pin, goes to another pin, goes to another pin. That's all I can speculate. So I actually don't know why they don't let you do that. But that's what I would imagine.
Okay. I haven't tested that.
If I could, just another quick thing.
Sure.
I tested the QR code thing that I told you about earlier, because I thought it would be actually awesome if you could actually like white hat hack something with a QR code, like linking to stuff. And it doesn't work. I mean, it notices that it is a QR code and shows you other QR codes with a tag QR code. So it knows it is a QR code, but it doesn't read it.
I have a feeling they're probably doing that on purpose, because I could just see everybody trying to QR code their pins because they've stripped it out, so you can't do any affiliate links anymore. And so I can see people trying to work around that by using a QR code. So I'm just guessing, but that's kind of what I think. I don't know.
But I'm thinking, why not? I mean, what do you care if I like white, as long as I white hat hack the thing? I mean,
right. Who knows? It may get smarter and they may let you. That's very interesting. Thanks for coming on and letting us know. I always like experimentation. You're like a mad Pinterest scientist. Thanks, Shay. We got some more questions. I want to see you later.
Thanks. Hey, take care.
Bye. There was one more question. I want to pull up. Oh, it's Selling Moms. I'm so glad. Somebody asks this question every time. She has one more question. Are hashtags recommended for Pinterest descriptions? No hashtags on Pinterest, please. They have actually come out and said that it's not a good idea to do. I first noticed it when I tried to do a promoted pin and they rejected it because they said I had too many hashtags. And then my friend Peg Fitzpatrick actually got it from a Pinterest representative that it can actually hurt your search. So I'm telling everybody, just don't use hashtag on Pinterest. Don't try it. I don't use them anymore at all. And so I would say not to have hashtags. So that's, what do you say, Vincent?
No, I agree, actually. I remember reading an official article from Pinterest. So they made it public enough that they announced this, like, hey, you know what? We don't suggest using hashtags. So don't. Yeah. The logic in case, because some people want to know the logic behind it, the logic behind why you shouldn't use hashtags is not so much that Pinterest doesn't like it, is because when you use a hashtag, it's not chronologically based the way Instagram or Twitter is. Instead, it will load up search results for that word. So if you use hashtag marketing, then what happens is when you click on it, you're more likely to see results from the word marketing than hashtag marketing. And so it takes people away from your actual pin. They're never probably going to see your pin ever again. And that's the big reason we don't suggest hashtags, not just because Pinterest hates them. We're not like Pinterest hashtag haters. Like, oh yeah, we'd be hating against hashtags.
Right. Very, very cool. Martin, thanks for joining us. It's probably late or early. I don't know where you're at. You're in the Netherlands, so it's probably crazy time there. So how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm great. It's half past 12, so, but it's normal times for me. I mean, the Pinch Set show is about between 3 and 4 a.m., so this is actually kind of relaxed.
gotcha. So do you got a question for Vincent?
Yeah, actually for you both. I mean, I haven't heard any reaction from Google, you know, and I was wondering, I mean, because this is really a big thing. It's not something, you know, just a small feature which Pinterest brought up. So do you guys have any feeling why, I mean, there's none reaction, not ever from Google, not on a blog post, not on, do you got any idea, Vincent or Jeff? Why, I mean, are they just shocked or, I mean, yeah,
well, I mean. I think Google has their spies everywhere. It seems to me, you know, I still see a lot of boards being ranked in Google, and I still think, you know, Pinterest and Google have a pretty good relationship, and so I would just say they probably don't want to rock the boat any. I know a lot of people are starting to, like especially food bloggers, use Pinterest instead of going to Google when they search for something like a new recipe or some new competition or whatever. They go to Pinterest first. So maybe Google's just kind of watching and waiting to see, to pounce. I don't know. You know, it's very, but that's a good point, Martin, that nobody's I haven't seen anything out of there. To me, it's a big deal. I mean, it's very, very cool. Yeah, yeah. It's you know, I think it hits more than it misses when I've tested it. And it for a platform that Pinterest is, which is it's all about going to be about e-commerce. It's going to be a giant catalog now. And then when the buyable pins become more prevalent and easy to use, whenever they roll out a WordPress plugin that you can hook up with WooCommerce for buyable pins, that's over. And so I think Google may be watching and waiting to see. I mean, they've messed with collections, so they see the value of taking something and putting it in a place like you do in Pinterest. So I don't know. That's a good question, though.
Yeah, well, because I was all wondering, I mean, I'm sorry, Vincent, because they actually lost in 2014, I read an article about 14% of search queries directly to going to Pinterest. So that means that people are not going to Google search bar anymore. They're going directly to Pinterest to use the guided search. So, I mean, I could imagine, I mean, having a visual search now related in Pinterest, I mean, my God, I mean, it's so more easy. Yeah, no, I mean, this is huge. But, I just don't understand why Europe is just not calling me. I remembered you this article. I mean, being you wrote it in February, and people say, "What a flashlight!" I mean, come on, this can't be serious. And then here we are, you know, 9 months later, and it's reality. It's amazing. Right. It's amazing. Thank you guys for your time.
Vincent, you had a response. You're going to say.
Yeah, I did. I'm going to go on the other side of things because here's what I really think is going on with Pinterest and Google. Like you're saying, I think it's not that Google doesn't want to touch Pinterest. It's just because I think Google learned a lot of lessons from trying to approach like a Facebook style of things. And in terms of visual search, this is probably not going to be too much of interest for everybody. But the reality is Google is a publicly traded company. They have to be very selective about the products, projects they've chosen. In the last year, they've cut down in their acquisition from, I think, like $1 billion to $273 million because they have public shareholders. And if you haven't checked their stock recently, their stock has done amazing. So in reality, I think Pinterest is really trying to stay to the core. And I don't think if ever they're going to try to create anything like Pinterest. I think they've been down that path before with Facebook. They know it's really dangerous. However, what is interesting, Martin, is I think that they will probably introduce some sort of similar tool within their Google Images. And I think that's where it's going to be fascinating. And I think this is where Pinterest is taking the lead, is that they are the pioneer in visual search. Everybody's trying to play a catch up now, and it's just a matter of who's going to design a better search engine to recuperate that 14% search that you mentioned earlier. So it'll be interesting, but I don't see them competing. I see it more as they're just going to live with each other.
Yeah, that's what I think so too. Well, thanks, Martin, for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you.
See you later.
See you, Martin.
Bye.
Okay, Vincent. Well, we're at the end of our time. Thanks so much. You're always awesome. Guest as always. So before we leave, can you tell us where people can find you and where they can best find your searches?
Yeah, so the best thing to do is find me on my website at www.mcngmarketing.com. That's where you'll find me. You can contact me by email through there. And if you've got any questions, just feel free to ask me. I'll be happy to answer. And again, thank you, Jeff. It's always an honor to be here because, you know, when we do like bro Pinterest stuff, it's always cool.
That's awesome. Well, thanks everybody for stopping by. I would want to tell you one thing. I am rolling out some group coaching that I'm going to be starting shortly. It's going to be 2 months, and it's going to be significantly discounted from what I usually charge my clients. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and email me at jeff@manlypinteresttips.com. And I'd always love for you guys to go over to manlypinteresttips.com and click on the sidebar and subscribe to our email and be a part of our email community, where you'll always get an email and never miss a great guest like we had with Vincent today, because at manlypinteresttips.com, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everyone. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.